Jesus paid it all. Isn't that great to know that Jesus paid it all? Not some, but all. He didn't just get you started on the road to salvation, but he bought it fully and completely. Unfortunately, not all Christians understand this. And there's a story that was told some years ago, a pastor who found the roads that were blocked one morning. It was a Sunday morning, obviously, and he was forced to skate on the river to get to church, which he did. And when he arrived, the elders of the church were horrified that their preacher had skated on the Lord's Day. And after the service, they held a meeting where the pastor explained that it was either I skate to the church or not go at all. And so finally, one elder asked, well, did you enjoy it? When the preacher answered no, the board decided, well, it's okay then. What we're talking about this morning, if you've seen your bulletin, what we're going to talk about this morning is grace versus legalism. But legalism is living according to rules that are imposed upon you. And that's not always bad, and it's not always good. I can remember, some of you may notice that Valerie and I's daughter Katiebug is here. And yes, she either goes by Katiebug in my book or Baby Doll, and so I chose Katiebug. I didn't want to embarrass her. And her husband James are here. Well, they both went to the same college, and so did our son Jesse. They went to College of the Ozarks, and I can remember Jesse always having a little bit of opposition to some of those rules there. See, at that college and some other Christian colleges, when you're a freshman, you're not allowed to drive. You remember that? You guys didn't really drive that much. You didn't have cars at that time. But you weren't allowed to drive unless it was on the weekends. You couldn't take your car out during the week. They have rules. And so is that necessarily bad or good? When it comes to Christianity, it's not bad or good. When you join a group, when you join something, there's going to be certain rules that you tend to expect to have. You go work at a job, they're going to have certain rules. You're not going to probably walk in there in shorts and tank tops. There's expectations. And I can remember Jesse not liking some of those rules in particular. But legalism in Christianity is a little bit of a different thing that we need to be concerned with. Nothing, and let me say this plainly, nothing can choke the heart and soul out of walking with God like legalism can. Again, nothing can choke the heart and soul out of people walking with God the way legalism can. For different reasons. Legalism in Christianity is when the motivation and the means of Christian living is from the law or a set of rules. And that's not where our motivation is supposed to come from. It's not from your motivation for Christian living isn't from laws or the law or a set of rules. Many have made the mistake of living that way. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, and we'll read today's memory verse. Again, if you have a bulletin, you'll see it in there, which generally we try to give you a memory verse, which is good for you to, whether it's later, to go back and kind of remember what we talked about, but a good verse for you to always pay attention to. And here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, here we see a phenomenal statement. Here the Apostle Paul, and really, who made this statement? The Lord Jesus himself. So, if you've got a Bible that has red letters in it, keep in mind, this should be red lettered. This is from God himself. This is from Jesus. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And what one should ask themselves is, when it comes to your Christian walk, when it comes to your life as a Christian, is what is my motivation? What is your motivation in your Christian walk? Is it because of some set of rules? And if it is, I would encourage you to reconsider. Is it a set of rules, or is it when God works in you through faith. So there's a difference between grace. Is this mic on, Frank? Can you guys hear it? Can you guys hear it through the speaker? No? Yeah, that's on. Yep, there it's on.
I didn't have it up.
All right, guess what? You guys have time to restart? You don't need lunch, do you? I'm pretty sure my wife has told me, and so have my kids, my voice carries pretty well, so I'm pretty sure most of you guys heard what I said. But again, the question is, what is your motivation? Is your motivation because of a set of rules, a set of expectations that you believe that God has put in place for you, or because man has put in place for you? Or is your motivation is what God is doing in your life, what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life through faith? Through faith. And as we look at this today, I hope that we understand that we don't follow a set of rules whenever we become Christians, like when we join a job or like whenever we join a school. One of the dangers of legalism is trying to honor the Word of God. We will contextualize our faith every time, in every time. So when you think of different periods of time, the things that are being done today within Christianity that's normal. But try doing those 500 years ago, and it wouldn't have considered to be okay. And so when we begin to get in a legalistic approach, we begin to contextualize things based upon the time in we live or the country we live. And again, having exposure to some of the things that Christians find deemable and okay in other countries, we would say, well, no, that's not okay. Legalism lends itself to these types of things, whether it's the time in which we live in, whether it's the country we live in, or any specific group in which we belong to within Christianity. And legalism helps fan the flames of these types of things. It tries to fit everything in black and white, which should be pretty funny because Val and myself have had many conversations that I was too black and white. And it wasn't until I think I started listening to my wife more and realized really the difference between legalism and grace. There's also another story I'd like to share with you. It's about a pastor who had a friend who goes to the Netherlands. And he's going there to share the gospel with the people, the Dutch people. And he became friends with many of the Dutch Christians there. And he was amazed to find out how distressed the Dutch Christians were with the state of American Christians. They were struggling with the way in which Americans would dress and how the Americans would wear makeup and how the American culture reflected Christianity. And they were upset about this. They were distraught. They felt that it was a worldly sin. They looked at the situation and they thought that the Christians in America had become part of the world, putting on makeup and dressing that way. And they would never let the world impact them and apply makeup as the Americans did. And his friend was amazed to see how upset that these Dutch Christians were. So much so that they would literally weep in tears as they were concerned about the Americans, the Christian Americans, and how they were doing these types of things. And this guy was concerned about their concern for America. So much so, like I said, that he saw tears would run down their face and drip off of their nose right into their beer and their cigarettes. Lamenting the worldliness of American Christians. You see, legalism is when you work according to imposed rules. And I'm not saying it's okay to to dress inappropriately. And I'm not saying that all actions, Paul doesn't suggest that all actions are okay for us to do. That's not the point. But legalism is when you work according to imposed rules. Grace is when God works in you through faith. Grace is when God works in you through faith instead of you trying to work out through a set of rules. Those who hold to a legalistic position often fail to see that the purpose of the law originally that God gave to the nation of Israel was to be a schoolmaster. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, makes it very clear that the law was given as a schoolmaster, as a tutor, to bring Israel to Christ. That's what the law was for. The law was never to make somebody righteous. But again, many misunderstand the liberty we have in Christ. Galatians 5:1 tells us this liberty we have in Christ. And what Paul, the apostle of Gentiles taught, turn me to Colossians chapter 2. What Paul taught, Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. Colossians 2, starting verse 20, says, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ," which, by the way, if you're in Christ, guess what? You're dead with Christ. "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?" Think about what that's saying. If you're dead in Christ, you're dead to sin. You're dead to the law. Why are you subject to ordinances? And you can think of yourself, ordinances that he might be referring to or ordinances that we put in place today. He says, verse 21, "Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship in humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." And so in other words, people do these things for a show of wisdom. And so Paul hears, why are you going back to the rudiments of the world? If you're dead with Christ, there's no need for this. Regulations, again, indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship and false humility, but they lack any value in restraining the flesh. And this herein lies the problem with the law. Where the law was weak, grace came. Because grace is not weak in the flesh. We'll get more into that. Legalism may appear to be a righteous and a spiritual thing, but ultimately it fails to accomplish God's purposes because it's an outward performance. It's an outward performance instead of an inward change. You see, the idea of grace isn't that you'll follow precepts. The idea of grace is that you've now had an inward change that would cause you to want to do what is right, whereas the law imposed sanctions on you if you didn't do what was right. And so again, legalism, I'm not saying the law was bad. The law had its purpose. But today, praise God, thank God, I can stand in the liberty wherewith Christ has set me free. And so can you. Legalism, laws, works to produce change from the outside. And that's what it was, change from the outside. Grace works to produce change from the inside. Grace crucifies the old man. This is why we put on the new man. Is because grace crucifies the salvation that we have in Christ. It crucifies that old man. And we're no longer in Adam. We're no longer bound to the law. We're no longer even really part of this world. We're in the world, but not to be of the world. Amen. Our citizenship is in heaven, church. Not in this world. So the law is pertaining to this world. And I'm not saying that you can go speed and go get a ticket, Valerie. Actually, I'll go 5 miles over and I'll get a ticket. She won't get a ticket. Talk about grace. I'm not saying that you don't follow the laws of the world. What I'm saying is the fact of where is your heart's desire? If you think following the Mosaic law, or if you think following man's laws is somehow going to change your situation with God, you are mistaken. There's only one thing that changes your situation with God, and that's the gospel of salvation. And once you've gotten that out of the way, there's nothing that's going to ever change it again. Not following the law or anything else. It's never going to change your situation. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. And we'll see where we're told we are dead to sin. So guess what that means? Romans chapter 6. If you're dead to sin, guess what? You can't sin by not doing the law. You're dead to it. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Here Paul talks about that old man I mentioned a moment ago. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, being Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. In church, I hope your expectation is, your plan is, that you're going to live with Christ forever. In Titus 2:13, looking for that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're going to live with him. Understand that today you are dead to sin. You don't need to follow any rudiments. You don't need to follow any ordinances. Your position is not based on a covenant. Your position is based solely on grace. That's what it's based on. Look at chapter 7 of Romans. Chapter 7, verse 5. Here we see more of an understanding here. Chapter 7 of Romans. Verse 5 says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. And here's two of the greatest words in the Bible. But now. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. But now, church, the law was to get people to understand that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. But now, righteousness has come apart from the law, and we are the benefactors of that. We are the benefactors of that. Therefore, don't turn back to the rudiments of the world. Don't turn back to the law. Again, and I say it oftentimes, go read the book of Galatians and you will see Paul's heart's desire is to get the people in that book to understand, what are you doing? Matter of fact, what does he do? He calls them fools. He says, what are you, foolish? What are you thinking, turning to this, to the law? And again, if God's law, the law that he gave Moses, if that law has been done away with, church, what do you think it means when it comes to the church trying to impart law on mankind? No. Again, the Bible goes deeper into expectations for the Christian. But if you think, again, as we talk about the context here, that anything that you do is going to affect your standing before God, and that's exactly what legalism does. Legalism projects the idea that something I do, whether it's following this communion, whether it was putting something in this plate, or whether it was showing up today, whatever the case may be, if you think any action you do can follow any type of law, if you think that's going to affect your standing before God, that's legalism. That's what it is. Legalism in salvation requires works. But now, under grace, the work is done for you. Think of that. There was a time There was a time when man had to do works. Israel had to go tithe 10%. Israel had to offer something for their sin. Today, it's all been done for you. Salvation has all been purchased. There's nothing you can do to affect that situation. According to the law, righteousness came through doing the law. And don't take my word for it. Turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. Righteousness. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. Here we get explicitly said. Deuteronomy 6:25 says, "And it shall be our," who's our here? Israel. "It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments." What commandments are those? That's the Mosaic Law. "It shall be our righteousness if we do all these commandments." Even in this sense, it wasn't that they weren't going to sin, but if they made a sacrifice, that's following the commandments. If they brought their offering and they followed the law, that was going to be their righteousness. "It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us." Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. The Lord Jesus doesn't come rebuking that statement. He doesn't come to come and change that statement. Matthew chapter 5. Matter of fact, if you go read Matthew 28, you see that He confirms that people need to be able to compare Matthew 28 to Matthew 23. You'll see that He commands people to continue to follow the law. But look here in Matthew chapter 5. And you guys are waiting on me this time. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 17. This is the Lord talking. Matthew 5, 17. It says, "Think not that I come to destroy the law." Wait a minute. That should get your head going. Is the law destroyed today? It's going to come back. So George is right. It's going to come back. That's right. But today, do you follow the law? No. But He says, "I've not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Verse 19, "Whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall go and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And again, this should get your mind working. Wait a minute. Whoever shall teach men not to follow the law shall be the least. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul taught. Not to follow the law. That's exactly what he taught. And so again, understanding what's going on here. So the Lord Himself doesn't come and say that you need to get rid of the law. But we see the Lord does wipe away the law for us. You see, that's the difference between the law and grace. Grace understands that now, unlike what Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, grace understands that the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. And keep in mind what we just read in Deuteronomy. That the law would be their righteousness if they followed it. But here, the Apostle Paul comes and says in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, those two big old words again. And I probably don't even have to ask you what they are. But now. So not but then, but now, right? Okay. But now, verse 21, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that follow the commandments. Oh, no, that's not what it said. Believe. For there is no difference. You see, grace understands that the righteousness of God is without the law. Grace understands today what legalism misunderstands. Legalism wants to impose rules. Grace says, go do it not because I'm going to love you more, but go do it because you love me. And there's a big difference. There's a huge difference. Romans 4, verse 5, should be pretty close to your page. Romans 4, verse 5 makes it pretty clear. It says, but him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So does righteousness today come from the law? No. Righteousness comes today by the faith of Jesus Christ. And I would say, point out to you, prepositions matter. So there's your faith in Jesus Christ, but understand your faith in Jesus Christ means nothing if it isn't for the faith of Jesus Christ, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Your justification, my justification, comes because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, which means when he makes a promise that I bought you and I've sealed you and I've made you my own, it's his faithfulness that says we have his justification. I don't have to work to get it. Legalism, unfortunately, can lead people into thinking that there's something that they can do, that they should do. Grace says, I'm not worthy no matter what I do. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That was one of the problems that Israel had, is that they boasted, even when the Lord Jesus himself came. They boasted about the fact that they were in Abraham. They boasted about the fact that they followed the law of Moses. And here the Apostle Paul tells us that we're saved by grace and that not of ourselves. God says, you know what? You just simply believe and I'm going to give it to you. Because otherwise, if you have to do something for it, you're going to boast about it. And who do you think he wants you to boast about? Say it again. Jesus. Not you. Him. That's who he wants you to boast about. And that's grace, is understanding that we don't boast of ourselves. We boast of Jesus Christ. The problem that mankind ultimately faces is sin, and that's what this all ends up having to deal with. Is if we're talking about our salvation, when we talk about legalism as it relates to our standing, people will say, well, I know I'm saved, but then they think that they can purchase God's love in some way, even if it's just a little bit more, and it doesn't work that way. Guess what? God loves you perfectly right now. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We love him because he first loved us. See, those are certainties. Those aren't based upon if you did something. Those are based upon the fact that he did something. And so, the problem again with mankind is sin. And how you approach it is up to you. And so to the unbeliever, you know, you can deny it and you can ignore your problem with sin. You can reject the fact that you even are sinning. And the world has plenty of people that feel that way. And they can even suggest the idea that, yeah, I understand that it's sin, and they can just ignore it. Or you can live by the flesh and think that laws and regulations or requirements are somehow going to deal with the sin that's within you. Again, the idea of legalism. The flesh can somehow take care of it for you. Or your third option is to deal with it through grace. And the understanding that God's grace, His eternal and matchless grace, pays for your sin. Perfectly pays for your sin. And when I say pays for your sin, I'm not talking about just the sins you did up to last Tuesday. Or the sins you did up to this morning, and now all of a sudden I've got to go back and do something else to get that sin covered. And that even means confession of your sins. Church, I'm here to tell you, God's love is perfect in the sense that He knew the sins you did make, and He knows the sins that you're going to make. And when He says you're sealed until the day of redemption, that means regardless of anything that you do or say. And so God's grace pays for all of your sins. Legalism, it connects the flesh, is what it does, with the law. Legalism connects your flesh with the law, but grace, and isn't this amazing? Grace nails the flesh to the cross. See, legalism wants to bring your flesh and the law it together, whereas in grace nails the flesh to the cross once and forever, totally and forever. That's amazing that it's done. What song did we sing last? Almost like it was planned that way. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but guess what, church? Right now you are washed what? White as snow. He paid it all. Grace changes, and hopefully does, changes your motivation from fear and force to faith, hope, and love. That's what grace changes. From fear, again, I'm going to follow the law, usually, of the road, because I fear that $200 ticket. And I've got a ticket here in Florida, and it was $200. And I wasn't really going that fast. Fear will motivate me. And fear will motivate people all the time. But grace understands that your motivation is now that it's by faith. It's by hope. It's by love. I don't do so that He will accept me. I do so because I'm already accepted in the Beloved. Think of that. Look at Romans chapter 8 with me. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans 8:15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." See, you don't have the spirit of bondage to fear as though that you need to do something in order to have a good standing with God. You've been given the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God now in heaven today is your Father. If you're saved and you put your faith and trust in His Son, it's never going to change. Legalism requires right behavior. Grace requires right doctrine. Understand that. Legalism requires your behavior to be correct. Grace requires that you have the right doctrine so that you understand grace, so that you understand that you no longer have to do works of righteousness. It's by grace. Grace succeeds where the law fails. And that's exactly what Paul tells us. Turn real quick, and I'd tell you it was the last verse, but I'd be lying to you. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 14. You see, It's important that you have the right doctrine so you know the difference between whether it's God having expectations with laws and legalism and rituals and the such, or whether it's man placing them on you. Your doctrine needs to be correct. And Paul even says so much here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. He says that we henceforth, who's we? It's the body of Christ. It's the church. That we henceforth no more be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The world wants to deceive. And the way that you can counter that is to know right doctrine. Titus chapter 2 says, again, Paul goes into the idea. He says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Again, he's imploring Timothy in this final book, or Titus, I'm sorry, it was Titus. He's asking him, he's employing him to make sure that you speak the things which are sound doctrine, because it's that important. In 2 Timothy, Paul commends Timothy to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You know, I recently got back on Facebook, mainly so we could do this here, and I shared a post the other day that had to do with the world and one of the ways to better prevent oppression in this world is to understand history. We talked about actually that a little bit last week here on Sunday. You know, one of the best ways to prevent you being wrong about the Bible is to study the Bible. Kind of makes a lot of sense. Understanding doctrine, the truth of correct doctrine, is going to be what's going to prevent the errors that we have. And in closing, I would tell you that legalism requires man's approval. Because there's always somebody making sure that you're meeting that obligation. Did you show up for church? Did you give your money? Did you do this? Did you do that? Legalism requires man's approval. Grace, again, says that you've already been approved. Grace says that you're fully accepted in the Beloved. The Beloved here, church, is in Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, if you're fully accepted in Jesus Christ, there's no other place that you need to attain to. You're fully accepted into the Beloved. But that's only true if you've been saved. And I would encourage those who hear this message to realize that salvation is offered free. You don't have to work for it, as we looked at today. You don't have to deserve it. Because if you're waiting to the fact that you deserve it, you better hope you live a long time. Because it ain't going to happen. Jesus said that they don't deserve it. Jesus said that they can't earn it. And Jesus said, I'm going to do something about it. And he did. And the offer today to the world and church, the great and glorious news, is he invites you, he invites me to be his ambassadors, to go share that truth with the lost and dying world, to say, I have done it for you. And all you have to do is believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4 will give you the gospel of salvation, is what it says. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says that when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed, you were sealed until the... Well, Ephesians 4 says until the day of redemption, but Ephesians 1 says that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so we can understand clearly that we're being told here is if you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, if you believe that Christ died for your sins, that Christ died for your sins. Again, there's one name given among men whereby we must be saved. Not one rule, not one expectation, one name given among men whereby we must be saved. The only way of salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. And if you believe that he died for your sins, and just as importantly, that he was raised again for your justification, that's it. You don't have to come forward. You don't have to make a confession. You don't have to do anything. Matter of fact, you may not even feel anything. But the moment you believe, he says, it's done. And he bought you. And so that's our message to the world, is that it's done, that it's over with. Rejoice. No longer is there any idea that you need to do any works. No longer is any of that situation. And again, the Bible is very clear. There's only one gospel that saves, and that's the one. Would you stand with me as we...